To the brightest audience in the country, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A few weeks ago, Inside Edition, the Hollywood TV program, caught up with Kenneth Copeland, the televangelist who is worth, what, more than $500 million, has a few private jets, his own little private airport next to his mansion in Texas. And they asked him about his refusal to fly on commercial jets. He once said it's like getting in a long tube with demons. And so this interview, I'd like to play that for you and interject a bit. Of course, I had the opportunity to air this program on these Christian television networks for years where they had televangelists on regularly. In fact, the networks were owned by televangelists. And I got to see from the inside out what I already knew, that the whole faith healing thing was fraudulent. They couldn't heal a liver spot or an ingrown toenail, and when they got sick, they just went on sabbatical somewhere until they recovered or died. We've also had a history of airing programs calling out these televangelists. We protested Benny Hinn here in Denver and got under his skin, so much so that he commented on it in his worldwide broadcast the next Monday that he was back in studio. Also, I had been asked by the president of LaCie Broadcasting, Pete Summerall, called me into his office and said, "Bob, I heard you were talking about Kenneth Copeland. What did you say about Gloria?" And I said, "Pete, who's Gloria? I have no idea what you're talking about." Well, it turns out that's Kenneth Copeland's wife. And I had no idea who she was, but that got me off the hook because I had been slamming Kenneth Copeland. So we got distracted from the main point of his concern. But first, last night's baseball game. Here in Denver, the Colorado Rockies beat the Chicago Cubs. What was it, 5-4? What a fun game. I was there with Dominic. He is our producer, board operator, and also one of our grandkids, Leah. We had a fabulous time, but I bring it up just to tell you a little bit of inside baseball here. The first home run was hit by a Cubs player, David Bodie, and that's a name perhaps familiar to our most regular listeners, because years ago when he graduated from Faith Bible Chapel — Faith Bible Chapel is a large church near us here in the Bob and Yurt Live studios, and they have a school, and the school had a great baseball program, and David Bodie played for the baseball team, caught the eye of Major League Baseball scouts. When he graduated high school, he was signed by the Cubs, and you know what that means. That's the beginning of a long haul toward a club's farm teams, minor league, and years of effort. And so we had the honor of interviewing David in studio, and he brought along his fiancée. So it was great to meet them. And it turns out that then they married, then they had their first child. The Cubs begin bringing him up to the show, you know, to a Major League Baseball game. They have their second child. They just recently had their third child. And he just keeps knocking them out of the ballpark. He's playing tremendously well. So it was fun to see him do so well, a homer, a hit, and a strikeout. And we're also happy that the Rockies won. But also interesting, during the game, Cargo, longtime Colorado Rockies veteran Carlos Gonzalez, has just ended up playing for the Chicago Cubs. And so he was playing. It was neat to see him. But I bring it up because he took the place of Albert Almora Jr., and something with Almora happened, what, a couple weeks ago that I've wanted to mention on the show. He hit a foul ball, and it struck a young child in the head, a hard line drive, and that child was out, and the father immediately picked her up, and they rushed her to an ambulance, and so she got to a hospital during the game. And Almora, while he was at bat, he kept his focus. But as soon as his at bat was over, he fell to his knees in tears. It was very moving. And then after the game, he said that if the family will have me, I'd like to be involved with that family for the rest of that young girl's life. So what a beautiful thing, so memorable when a tragedy happens, and the love that God gave us, the ability to love others, is expressed. It was really wonderful, but we are glad that the Rockies won. The Cubs, they could spare it. They're in first place in their division. The Rockies are in second. Okay, so televangelist Kenneth Copeland. We protested Benny Hinn when he was in Colorado at the Coliseum, and KOA Radio ended up calling, and they got Doug McBurney. He happened to be in the studio. So Doug McBurney was on, this is the Rush Limbaugh affiliate in Denver, 50,000 watts, similar to here at Bob Newhart Live. We're on AM 670 KLTT, the 50,000-watt blowtorch of the Rocky Mountains. We're lower on the AM dial than KOA is, meaning our signal goes even further, which is so awesome. So Doug McBurney called out Benny Hinn for being a liar, a fraud. They had claimed that a girl born blind was brought the night before to the Coliseum, and Benny Hinn healed her, and she received her sight. And Doug McBurney pointed out, you know, even though we were outside, we were there, but outside protesting with fabulous signs that said miracles for sale, but it's a lie. There was no girl born blind who was brought to Benny Hinn last night and she was healed. If that had been the case, the entire world would already know her name. That's just a typical lie from a televangelist, and they bring shame to the gospel of Jesus Christ by their behavior. So Inside Edition, their reporter, Lisa Guerrero, she ambushes Kenneth Copeland. And so let's hear some of this and we'll interject along the way. But he's good. He's slick. He starts out really rough and raw, but then he gets into his zone. And these guys, they are professional. You know, they do know what they're doing. Even though it's fraud, they know what they're doing. So let's hear this.
How are you, sir? We'd just like to ask you about why you don't want to fly commercial. Why have you said that you won't fly commercial? You said that it's like getting into a tube with a bunch of demons. Why do you think that?
No, listen to me just a second. Of course. Not the people. The main reason is because of the need. If I flew commercial, I'd have to stop 65% of what I'm doing. That's really the main.
Isn't it true that you want to fly commercial so that you can fly in luxury? How much money did you pay for Tyler Perry's Gulfstream jet, for example?
Well, for example, that's really none of your business, but...
Isn't it the business of your donors?
Listen, I paid.
Stop the tape. So that's evidence, right, of his guilt. It's evidence of his guilt because he heads up what's called a ministry. It's actually a for-profit business in the guise of a ministry. And these televangelists, he's worth now over $750 million with a fleet of private jets and luxury in the extreme. Is it wrong for someone to be wildly wealthy? Not at all. Is it wrong for someone to fleece the flock and misrepresent the gospel to desperate people and lie to them and say, if you give us $10,000, you give us $1,000, you give us $100,000, and your wife, you'll be planting good seed, and your wife will be healed of cancer? Because that's been their routine for decades. So, yeah, that's wrong. Let's continue.
You kind of caught me off guard here, okay?
Certainly. Well, if you like to come out here, I'd like to give you a chance to catch your breath and have a conversation. We don't want to catch you off guard.
I love Inside Edition.
She's good too, I'll tell you.
Hey, you listen to me? My wife thinks Inside Edition is, oh, yeah.
Stop the tape. What a shame. The Copelands watch Inside Edition at their home? What are they, perverts? You can't watch Hollywood programming and enjoy it and not be a pervert. That's not possible.
Thank you, Lord. Help me. Let me pray.
Let me just ask you a really simple question. A lot of people think it's unbecoming for a preacher to live a life of luxury and to fly around in private jets. What's your response to that?
Very simple. It takes a lot of money to do what we do. We have brought over 100, let's see, the latest figures just came out, 122 million people to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Stop the tape. That's not true, of course. When I was at LaCie Broadcasting, the claims of the numbers of people who became Christian, if you add them up from all the different televangelists and all the networks and all the ministries, the whole world would have been converted 6 or 7 times over. So tragically, it's not true. Do many people come to the Lord through a televangelist ministry? Yes. Yes. Do many people turn away from Jesus Christ because of a televangelist ministry? Yes, even more so. In fact, this is one of the leading reasons people give to reject Jesus Christ, is that Christianity is all about money. It's run by charlatans who are not exposed by the Christians themselves. They should rise up and condemn these frauds. They should. And a lot more people would come to the Lord. But he's good. He's gonna really get good here. Let's keep going.
People to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you another example. Last May, I was scheduled for Lagos, Nigeria. That's a long ways. I had a week off, and I was scheduled for Peru. And I prayed about it, and I thought, I'm not missing that dedication in Jerusalem. Without the airplane that we have that I bought from Tyler Perry, and I didn't pay anywhere. Tyler's one of the greatest guys. He made that airplane so cheap for me, I couldn't help but buy it.
Well, my question then, okay, all right, but I want to get to the demons, because people are very concerned about that comment.
Give me a chance here, Inside Edition. Okay. I love your eyes.
And, stop the tape. How inappropriate, right? I love your eyes. So that's a sexist thing. He's trying to get on her good side. I'm sure it'd backfire. He's like 186 years old. So gross. Couldn't be more gross. But let's continue.
Here's what happened. We flew in 21 days, 70 hours, 40,000 miles, touched 5 continents, and preached face to face personally with 125,000 people.
Do you ever use your private jets to go visit your vacation homes, for example?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Again, getting back to the comment, you said that you don't like to fly commercial.
So when you think about Pat Robertson, for example, who for decades, and this is an example, for decades would brag about how little he gets paid by the 700 Club. What he didn't tell those who were donating, sometimes barely meeting their own budget so they could send $50 or $100 a month to Pat Robertson, what he didn't tell his donors was that they were buying TV stations all over the country with the money that was coming in, hundreds of them, stations, and they were putting them in the names of Pat Robertson and his son so that they became worth billions of dollars. And they sold their family network to one of the most godless broadcasters in our culture. And the diamond mines that Pat Robertson end up owning in Africa, and he would use his missionary private jet to fly to and from his diamond mines. So does that all make sense from the story that he's telling his donors? A while back, one of the shows we did on the televangelist frauds, we had on a gentleman who testified in Congress about this. Ole Anthony is his name, from the Trinity Foundation. And we talked about his testimony where he pointed out that the leaders of these very wealthy televangelist organizations. They have all become wildly wealthy, approaching billionaire status, so many of them. And it's difficult, if not impossible, to tell the not-for-profit from the for-profit business entities run by the televangelists. And Congress, they were so timid in their investigation, so timid. And the government generally doesn't mind Christian frauds operating. They'll even rent them the Denver Coliseum. Now, they probably wouldn't rent it to someone who's known to be committing real estate fraud, like trying to sell people Pikes Peak, say. Hey, you want to buy Pikes Peak? Here's some shares in Pikes Peak. They probably wouldn't rent the Coliseum to someone known to be committing real estate fraud. But if you're a televangelist committing fraud on the gospel of Jesus Christ, they sort of like that because it brings shame to the gospel, which they're sort of happy to let that continue. So using the private jets to fly to your luxury vacation mansions, all from the money donated by many who desperately are at your faith healing event because they have a loved one who's dying. And they give everything they could possibly give.
Okay. Again, getting back to the comment. You said that you don't like to fly commercial because you don't want to get into a tube with a bunch of demons. Do you really believe that human beings are demons?
No, I do not. And don't you ever say I did.
Stop the tape. He's just lying, right? That's what he meant. It might have been a passing comment. But he's an elitist. He doesn't want to fly with a bunch of people who shop at Walmart.
I do not. And don't you ever say I did. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers.
Can you explain what you meant by that? Yes. That by that term, then? Yes. Just explain, because it's really simple. You said you didn't want to get into a tube with a bunch of demons. What did you mean?
Well, let me ask you.
Do you think that people that fly commercial are demons?
If you give me a chance to talk, sweetheart, I'll explain this to you.
Sweetheart.
But it's a biblical thing. It's a spiritual thing. It doesn't have anything to do with people. People, I love people. Jesus loves people. But people get pushed in alcohol. Do you think that's a good place for a preacher to be and prepare to go preach to a lot of people? When somebody in there is dragging some woman down an aisle, it made me so mad to see that on television. I wanted to punch the guy out myself. I can't be doing that while I'm getting ready to preach.
So you just don't like to be around the sinful people or the hurtful people. Is that what you're saying?
Not the people, baby. Not the people.
Did he say baby? Did he say not the people, baby? Can we back that up 10 seconds?
Out myself. I can't be doing that while I'm getting ready to preach.
So you just don't like to be around the sinful people or the hurtful people. Is that what you're saying?
Not the people, baby. Not the people.
Lady? Baby?
Back during the days that we couldn't do anything else, we had to travel commercial. When I went to Oral Roberts University, I flew for Oral Roberts. I'm a commercial pilot. So I spent a lot of time in Arab.
You have how many planes?
We have the Gulfstream, and we still have our Citation 10. And then we have a little small airplane.
By the way, Oral Roberts University, Oral Roberts, part of his fundraising scam, he said, God told me that if you don't all donate $7 million or 11, I forget the exact number, by such and such a date, God is going to kill me. How's that? God is going to kill me. So he ended up getting whatever he got, $4 or $5 million. Didn't raise the full amount, but he said, well, it's okay. God said he won't kill me. So he didn't die then. So the manipulation, the shame brought, and the fact that thousands of pastors try to, mostly small churches, some large churches, try to emulate these people. Instead of being able to recognize that they're frauds, they actually try to emulate them.
And then we have a little small airplane. But those are the two ones that we use, and we use them all the time. And other people use them too. We have other ministries that use these. In the book of Ephesians, oh God, I love this. We wrestle not with people, but with principalities and powers, unseen things, rulers of the darkness of this world. Talking about the devil, he's a very real devil, just the same as Jesus is a very real Lord. And I spent a lot of time on airlines. But the main thing that happened was not, that wasn't the main reason. The main reason was I could no longer do what I called to do and be on the airlines. Besides that, I need my clothes when I get there.
And you have some fancy clothes. I mean, for a pastor, you are living a life of luxury.
Yes,
you've got great homes. You've got great planes.
You
drive in limos.
I'm a very wealthy man.
You're a very wealthy man.
Yes.
Yeah. And some people would say that. Is it appreciated?
May I add something to that? My wealth doesn't come from offerings alone.
Because you sell things, books and DVDs.
Yes. And I have a lot of natural gas on our property. Didn't know that, did you, babe?
Now I do.
There's the babe.
Isn't that wonderful?
Well, I guess. It's wonderful for you.
Back when, and I might add another thing, too.
Please
we
don't.
Invest from, let's see, I don't know the exact number on last year yet, but it will run something in the neighborhood of 20, 25 million in the poor. Can't do that and be broke.
So final question is, a lot of people maybe have a misunderstanding.
Exposés of, for example, orphanages that are run by Benny Hinn as an example. And he will raise money for an orphanage in a specific country. And an investigative journalist will go unannounced. And the address, there's a house or a building that's basically vacant. There's nothing there. There's no ministry operating. Then they'll make arrangements through the ministry to go visit the same orphanage. And they get there and a sign is put out and there are people there. And it's a scam. And these kinds of scams have been operating for decades. And Christians should care, not only because they're giving their hard-earned money, but because you could be undermining the gospel by the people that you're donating your money to. And that is so devastating eternally, not just right now, making this guy wealthy.
Can't do that and be broke.
So final question is, a lot of people maybe have a misunderstanding then about what you do in prosperity preaching.
Yeah.
So the final question is this. To those critics that say that a preacher should not be living a life of luxury, what is your response to that?
They're wrong.
That's it?
That it's a misunderstanding of the Bible that if you go into the old covenant, do you think the Jewish people believe you should be broke?
Are you saying that Jewish people appreciate money more than...
Really? They believe in wealth.
Okay, stop the tape, stop the tape. He wanted to go into the old covenant because John the Baptist was broke. The apostles were broke. Jesus was broke, right? Everybody was broke. But it was because primarily of the time that they were living in the spiritual battle and the climax of millennia of a spiritual conflict that was coming to a head. So there were reasons for that economic difficulty that they lived through. But it's also true that if you work hard and are wise, you could become prosperous. That's true too. But back in the Old Testament, it actually became a problem that people who love God were so wealthy. Abraham was wildly wealthy. Isaac was wealthy. Jacob was wealthy. Joseph became wildly wealthy. And in the time of Joseph and his children, That's when the events of the book of Job took place. And that's why God allowed those events to transpire as they did, because the lie that was being told was, well, anyone who obeys this God of Abraham will be wealthy, and sure, if you give people a lot of money, they'll worship you. And so the first book chronologically written in the Bible was to address that lie, that even if someone were to lose everything, they should be willing to worship and serve the creator of the universe.
Appreciate money more than...
Really? They believe in wealth.
Some people would find that offensive.
No, wait a minute now. I'm not talking about some people. I'm talking about the Bible. The blessing of Abraham. Abraham was extremely wealthy, and he had a covenant with God. It's not the Jewish blessing, it's the Abrahamic blessing. God, I get excited talking about it because I love it. And I started out deep in debt with nothing.
There's one of his planes.
Which is another story. But anyway.
So you say that it's biblical and that, that there's a foundation in the Bible for this.
Let me close it with this. Sure. I had to learn this, like I said, from the Bible and from my spiritual mentor, Oral Roberts. And I learned it from him, working with him, and then he was close friends until he died. And he took the same heat for believing God would prosper you that I've taken over the years. And Abraham was a very, very wealthy man. Galatians chapter 3. If you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. And his promise was great wealth.
What a criminal. What a criminal he is, a criminal in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Imagine all those people who love the Lord dearly, and they struggle financially for 1,000 different reasons. Sure, many times it's because people are not wise or they're not industrious, but there are also many other reasons why people struggle. And if being wealthy is part of the promise of the gospel, then, hey, there's something wrong with their faith. Just like when Kenneth Copeland will say that physical healing is an inheritance of your salvation. And then when people don't get healed, or they have a child who's born with a terminal illness and the child dies, and they think, well, they begin to doubt their salvation. They doubt their faith because of his false teaching. Let's finish out.
The Bible also says that it's more difficult for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to get through the eye of a needle, correct?
The rest of the scripture. But he said, all things are possible with God. And he said, if you study the Greek behind that, it's trusting in wealth. When he said that, his disciples said they were astonished out of measure because they were wealthy men. They were astonished out of measure saying, how can
stop
anyone
the tape,
be?
Stop the tape. Of course, Jesus' disciples were not wealthy men. And what Jesus taught, how your riches could distract you from your desperate need for God. Of course, that's true. And it was not an excuse for a minister of the gospel to misrepresent the scriptures and lie to those who are desperate to enrich themselves. What a great tragedy. Inside Edition, they're pretty wicked, but they got this guy.